Very nice to be here again with you guys. It's quite a privilege that we get to be here so far. We get to come home every Christmas and get to be here and ring in the new year with you guys. And it's a huge blessing, and God knows exactly what we need. As we stay out there in Ukraine for months on end, and I know there's a lot of missionaries who've stayed out in their places for years on end without coming home, God knows what it takes to keep us full, keep us encouraged, and he's brought us home so far every year to do so, and so we're very blessed to have that, and we're very excited to be home and be with you guys. I'd like to apologize that we couldn't have been here this year for Pastor Arnold's funeral. Of course, we would have loved to have been. That would have been a fantastic time to just be with you all and celebrate his life. But we did do that from Ukraine. We celebrated and just were able to remember him and the great things that he's done even in our own lives. And he and Ruth were had counseled us as before we got married. And I remember that was a really great time together. He was, of course, the one who married us. He had also been an encouragement to us throughout the years. Every time we came home and as we were here in the church, and sometimes even through phone calls, would always just encourage us. And the stories that he shared about just the evangelist that he was, just going out no matter where he was and sharing the good news of Jesus wherever he went, was just such an encouragement, because that's what we aim to do, and we have gone all the way over to Ukraine to do. And quite honestly, it sounded like he was able to do a better job than us many times, and he didn't go anywhere to do it. he was right here doing it wherever he went, whoever he crossed paths with, and that was always such a great encouragement to us. So it goes along with what Jeremy was saying about sharing the word of God and speaking to people about that, and that's what we aim to do, and that's why we're in Ukraine. And we've been there now for more than 6 years. We're in our seventh year in Ukraine, and so we're very excited about that, because the facts that I've heard say that most missionaries make it about 2 years and they're out. If they make it seven, they're usually in it for the long haul. So we're right there. We're right there, so keep praying for us, keep encouraging us and pushing us forward like that. I'm very happy and excited that Jeremy is your pastor here now. I know he's the right man for the job. He was always a good friend to us, a great encourager. One story that I remember that I shared with him recently, you know what? He'll always be there for you, because he was over at our place one time and we had bought a few pies. And we got pies from a pie auction at Church of the Rock in the city. And we said, hey, let's share this pie. Let's go. And I started carrying it down the stairs. And, it didn't quite make it. And the pie fell and left a big heap of pie on the stairs. And we said, well, it wasn't a cheap pie, by the way. And so we said, we can't just waste this. So me and Jer sat down on the stairs, we each grabbed a fork, and we started eating the pie off the stairs. So he was there to encourage us and be with us through that tragedy. So I'm sure he'll be a great person to be there for you as well. I'm supposed to have turned on this apparatus here. Oh, there we go. So I'm going to share with you guys about what's going on in Ukraine, and obviously I love to do that through photos. It helps me a lot by remembering what we've done this year. Just going through the photos in the last few days and just sort of coming back, I was reminded of all the different things that we were involved in. If I didn't have the photos to do that, sometimes I'd just slip my mind and go, oh, what were we up to this year? And so the first photo I have here is actually just of our floorball team. I shared with you guys about that in the last couple years. What we're doing, and this is the main group of guys that I've been able to be with over the last couple of years and really share my heart with and share the good news about Jesus with. And we do that in all kinds of settings, but of course, we play sport together. And so this is a team photo shoot that we had, and they love to do photos over there. Everybody's doing selfies, and I know selfies are all over the world, but they really love the photo shoots. So as soon as we got new uniforms, they said, okay, we're going for a professional photo shoot. And I said, okay, if we have to. We got to make the most of it and use that as well for some family photos as well on that day. So if you guys would like one, we'll have them out after the service as well, and you'll get a family photo, and I'm wearing a little bit of the green, and Joanne's got my sweater on, and our whole family's there. My main core group of guys that I work with, I work with a group of three guys who have agreed to be in a relationship with me where I'm their mentor. And so they play on this team here. One guy's not in the photo. He couldn't make it that day, but two guys, the one right next to me, I can use this thing, right? This guy here, his name is Andre. I have a good relationship with a lot of these guys, but Andre and why can't I find my other friend? Is he not here? Oh, he's not in the photo. I had another photo. Sorry. He'll see him in other photos. Andre, Philippe, and Stas, they're the three guys that I work most closely with. With them, we meet every week to read the Bible together. I try to do my best to encourage them and share with them what it is to follow Christ. And they have all decided that that's what they want in their life. I shared with you last year already how one of them, Stas, was baptized in the river, and I had the great honor to be able to do that. First and only baptism I've ever performed, but I hope to do more. And Philippe decided he would be baptized this last year as well. So he's one of the guys not in the photo today. He was baptized at another church, but we were greatly excited and encouraged with that. And the one, Andre here, he's on his path. He's following Christ, but has not yet decided to be baptized, but we're excited that I think he will be soon. And I do my best to spend my time with these guys. We travel all over Ukraine. If you guys don't remember some of the details of this floorball team, first of all, floorball, something like hockey and floor hockey, if you weren't here for my explanation of it last year. It's a little Europeanized, a little bit softer. But it's still fun, and it's the closest thing I can get to hockey. So we travel all over Ukraine, and we play against other teams, and there's actually a lot of Christian people in this league of floorball. I guess it really was picked up by a lot of churches and used as a ministry. Not all the teams are Christian-based, but it's really fun to go out there and see other guys that are trying to do similar things. But I think I'm the only Canadian in the league, the only international. Everyone else is Ukrainian, with the exception of maybe there's a couple guys from nearby countries there. What do I got here? Just a photo from the end of our last season. We often get to play together, and just in between periods, we'll sit together and obviously talk about what we need to do. Group huddle, put us together there. And in our city. And so we've had a few different outfits to wear along the way. The green ones are our brand new outfits. So here's us excited. I think we won here. We must have, because we look happy. You can always tell that after a game, right? The guys stand around and they're like, just take the photo. Or we look excited and happy. So last year we had a pretty good result. We finished in our league second in Ukraine, and we were quite happy with that. But we're trying to move up and do a little bit better. But as I said, my focus on this team is to be with these guys and share Christ with them. So that can be a struggle at times when you're playing sport and you're playing hard. And as I've shared with you guys before, frustrations and tensions can run high when you're playing sport, especially for me. So some of the times what I get to share with them is through my frustration, I get to say, you know, guys, I'm sorry, that wasn't the right example when I got upset and I yelled at you or something like that. Chewed the other guy out, and I hope you'll forgive me, which is something that as you go throughout the world, everywhere you go, you're going to see that's getting harder and harder for people nowadays. People don't like to say, I'm sorry. They don't like to apologize, and so sometimes that's the example I need to lead by, and everybody on this team knows for sure why I'm doing it, because I've shared with them many a times why I'm doing that. This is a group of people that has been really near and dear to us. We've got my friend who's actually taller than me in the back there. His name's Andre. I think I shared with you guys about him before. He's been a pastor in our church. He's got his wife in this photo and two kids. They're a great encouragement to us, even as we're out there. We spend a lot of time with them, and we've done youth ministries with them. But I also get to just get together with him every week. We read the word together, we pray together, and we try to encourage each other and throughout the church. And so it's a great relationship. Not only it's a give and take relationship, and it's a wonderful thing to have. The majority of the people in this photo are people that have helped us in our youth ministry within our church. If you guys remember, and I'll show you a couple more photos later, will be about one program that we do in our church once a month where we get to do a youth church service called Just Youth. And so this is mostly the team that helps us do that. This year we were blessed to swap vehicles. You guys remember maybe that we had a Chevrolet Niva, and that Niva was something that was originally made by Lada, and it was a good car to us. But our friend Jessica, an American girl who's there working with orphans, she expressed some interest and said, maybe I need that vehicle. That would be better for her. She goes out to the field. It's a higher vehicle. She goes out to work on the field and she's building a home. And so we said, okay, we'll sell you our vehicle and we'll look for another one. And so that was a 5-seat vehicle before. And we got this one because it's more of a wagon style and it can fit 7 people. So I can put my family in it and my 3 main guys can come and get in too. And we have seat belts for everybody. So it's one of the, it was a great, great blessing to find that this year as well. It's actually slightly older than our other vehicle, but we felt it was a really good for us this year. And of course, driving floorball guys around, even if my family's not along, I can bring half the team with me. So that's a wonderful thing. And we're standing in front of our building. You might recognize from other older photos, but that's our apartment building right there. Pretty standard, typical Ukrainian Soviet-made building. This one has 3 floors. They have sort of 3 main layouts of buildings. There's a 3-floor, there's a 5-floor, and there's a 9-floor building. And so we're happy to have the 3-floor building because we're on the top floor and we have to walk that. 3 floors isn't too bad. So we're happy with that. Trying to show the new vehicle and that there's a whole seat in the middle that yet is yet to be filled there in that photo. So. This is once again at our church. I got an opportunity to speak at our church, and I don't remember the message I preached on this year, but it was the one time that I was able to do that this year. Our church has been going through quite a struggle and turmoil there in Ukraine, and it's because we've had 5 pastors before, and I won't get into all the details, but there's been a lot of issues within that team and the whole church, and I think the church has unfortunately been suffering for that. People have been leaving, and we want to stay in that church, and we want to encourage that church and help build that church, and so I'd ask you to keep them in your prayers. Our church is called New Hope, Novaya Nadezhda. And this is one of the previous pastors as well, Max, who's been a great help to us this whole time that we've been there. He's a great translator, and so that's what he's doing up there for me, translating as I share. Usually when I share, the first time I share with any group, I usually share about the love of Christ. But this will have been one of the times that I've already shared with this church many times, so it's probably a different message there today on that occasion. But please keep the church in your prayers. We now have a 2-pastor team, which I hope will be a better approach. We're really trying to help them to rebuild and work together with them to work with youth ministry. Because up until this point, we do work in our church, and we are friends with these people, but we've often had the feeling that our ministry, our youth ministry, has been very separate from what they're doing. We're in the same building, but not really working hand in hand with them. So we have a couple friends like Andre, the tall guy in the previous picture there that I said works with us. But we'd like to build that to have a closer relationship that all of the youth that are coming through our church would be involved in our youth ministry. And one of the issues with that right now is something that happens in a lot of churches, not only in Ukraine, but here as well, is that some parents don't want their kids to be in that ministry because they're scared that they're going to interact with others who might not be Christians and be poorly influenced. And I think that's a frustration of ours is that we love to have those good influencing teenagers that are already Christians coming and being with the ones that we've met and we've just first invited to hear this. And they can then see how these young Christians actually live their life, and they live it joyfully. This was one of our Just Youth events. This year we felt that we were having a much lower attendance than we had in the past, because we had attendance up to 100 people at times, and this year a lot of times our attendance was around 30 people, down from our average usually around 50 or 60. And so this was our four-year anniversary in June of our youth event, Just Youth. And so once again, I'm standing up there with my translator, that's our good friend Olya, and sharing. And so I've got my group of guys there, and then another large group that comes to our event is a bunch of graduated orphans that work and live in a nearby village called Nikolai Polia. I shared a little bit with you guys about them, but they are guys that are working with, there's a Canadian couple that are over there in this village. They're running a dairy farm, and they're teaching these graduated orphans how to work. They're teaching them how to live, how to handle their money, and of course they're teaching them about Christ and how Christ can be a part of their life. But most of these guys and girls have some kind of a disability. Often there's some mental issue for a lot of them, and so they're a little bit slower and it's a little bit harder. And so I don't know how that two Canadian couple who lead that do it, but they've been very faithful to it. They've been there just a little longer than us. They've been there, I think, 2 years, 2 to 3 years longer than us. And they continue, and so we have a good relationship with them. We meet for a small group every Thursday night with them and our friend Jessica, just to be able to be together with like-minded people, focus on the Word of God, and encourage each other in each other's ministries, which is another part of how God has been blessing us there. Gary and his wife Teresa are the Canadian couple who are there and working with those graduated orphans. And so there's always a large group of them that come to our events. And so we actually recently, just before Christmas, had postponed or held off a couple of our Just Youth events just because we didn't see any new people coming in. Most of the people I'm working with right now are involved in this floorball, and I'm not seeing to... most of the new people I find are in different cities. And so they're not often ready to come to our events, of course. But we took when we took a break from doing some of these Just Youth events, we said, well, we do have a large group of people who still want and need this, and that's Gary and Teresa's graduated orphans. And so they have about 14, 15 at any given time. And they have different homes where they're in around this village. And we went out to Nikolai Polia, this village, and we did a Just Youth event specifically for them. And so we did it in their one of their buildings, and that was a great, a cool thing to do, because often I have a struggle when I preach the message there in this setting. I have a lot of different people from very different backgrounds. And for me to focus and say, what kind of a message do I need to preach this month here, can be very tough. And so when I went out to be with them, it was a lot simpler. I knew who I was speaking to. I knew which group. I knew their background. I knew quite a bit about them. And so it was quite a blessing for me to be able to preach for them. And I hope that they're still thinking and moving in that way. I know many of those young guys and girls have given their life to Christ because of where they are, because of Gary and Teresa, who work so hard with them and share the love of Christ with them. There's Gary and Teresa sort of in the background. They're the only ones who aren't teenagers in this photo, so you can pick them out. And this a close-up photo of some of the people who were at our event. Now, when our event is, I say we have a youth church service, this is Just Youth, but of course there's always some games involved, so it's a more interesting type of event like that. And so here we have a game where they were, I don't remember what we had put in these ice blocks, but there was an ice block, maybe with a coin in them? Yeah, and they had to melt the ice block to get the coin out, and that was their task. And so it took a while, because it was a fair-sized ice chunk, and they had to... They had to do anything they could to warm it up. So the one guy here is trying to put it in his armpit. Other guy's rubbing it on his arm, but after the event, he's got this huge red, frosty spot on his arm. And so eventually somebody won. I think it was my friend Andre there. He's the tall one again that's in the photo. So And it was a good photo because even in the background you see the video or whatever was up on the screen, the guy's poised and shocked. Once again, Joe in the center there, she was the prep artist for this this game. This was a game where we did a smoothie challenge, where you take a bunch of different strange items, and they drew items out of a hat, and had to see what would go together into the same smoothie, and then they had to, together, there would be two people up on stage, and whoever could down it first would win a prize. And so here's the two people going at it, and my friend Ruslan, he's the one with the microphone, he's been a great friend to us and help to us that we met through the Young Life program there, which is another youth ministry going on. And he's always been our MC for this event, and he's doing a great job there. This is, once again, you see sort of similar scenes because it's the same church building that we use for almost all of our events, until we get into summer when we do most of our things outside. Here's just at our church on a Wednesday night. Often on a Wednesday night we'll get together, and that's when I'm going to share the word with these guys. And they're invited, they're able to bring their friends. And so we encourage them to bring the other friends that they have. Often these graduated orphan guides, their friends are other graduated orphan guys. And so they bring them around and we share and we read the word together. And usually I'm very blessed and lucky to have a translator for that, but sometimes I'm not. And so my Russian language has really had to be stepped up in the last year and a half since I've been working with these guys. So I've been learning a lot of words and able to speak with them, but it's really still really hard to lead a conversation, lead a message. But at least if it's a small setting like this, my guys know, okay, he needs a little bit of time. I can look to them and say, well, what's this word I'm trying to say? And they can try to help me through it. They don't know any English. Graduated orphans in general there don't have a great education. There's really no English program in their schools, and they're often not very motivated to do really any learning, let alone to learn a whole nother language. And so with this group of guys, I'm going to have to speak exclusively Russian unless I have a translator there. So just another shot. That's with our friend Jessica. She's the redheaded girl here on the left. And she's the one who's building the home for orphans. And she's been there now 10 years in Ukraine. So another really faithful servant and a great encouragement. I don't know what we'd do if these other people weren't there. They're a great example for us, and they're a great encouragement for us. So as we can come together with them, like I said, every Thursday we sit together and we have a small group together. And it's just such a great time that God is used to, as we've all agreed, that we're just a blessing to each other, that we can come together and share in the word and share in our week and pray for each other and sing praises to him. This was a nice field that we found nearby, nice soccer field. And so we just, that's another sport I often get to play with guys because that's the number one sport most places you go in the world. And so it is also in Ukraine. And so for many years we've had a soccer team and we've been able to have lots of fun on that. And we had one all the way up until this June, but we hadn't put one in for this year, but still get to go out and play with guys. And that's another great opportunity to connect with people because I have friends that come with me from the events that I already have, but we go out to the field or they bring friends and we meet new people. And when you go out to these places, that's the place that you can invite them. You meet people to invite them to other events. So I'm always thrilled when we can go out because the number one and two ways that we usually find people are through sports and through English teaching events. And so that's the two main things where we find new people. Here was an event I got invited to where we got to take this, you can get a close-up on the floorball stick, what it looks like, the blade. An event where we got invited to a school. I got invited with some of the other guys on my team to go teach a bunch of young guys what floorball is and how it looks. Hockey once was a very huge sport in the Soviet times, but ever since obviously 1990, 91, the infrastructure in the country just doesn't allow for much for hockey, right? And hockey can be an expensive sport to play. You need a facility and you need equipment. And so that's not really a sport that has really been around in the last 25 years. And so even to teach them something like floorball is completely new to kids. When I meet people that are older than myself, they know, they've played. But anybody younger than myself usually has not played hockey. And so when I teach them floorball, or even I have hockey sticks for street hockey over there, they're always thrilled to try it. And so it's really cool to be able to do that. And so I've been invited to lots of schools. Sometimes we'll just do it out on the street. We'll go to where there's a smooth piece of sidewalk or something, which is rare. There's almost never smooth roads or sidewalk. It's always broken apart. Or there's some big hole in it because the manhole cover's been taken to be taken because it's metal and it's valuable. So they take that and have a big stick sticking out of it. If usually people are nice enough to put a tree or some stick in it, so they say, hey, look, there's a hole here. I don't know if it was the person who stole the manhole cover who did that, or just the next person that came along, but that's a dangerous thing. Just to line up of all the kids in that school there where we taught many different ages that, as you can see. So we got to just teach that one. And a shot from our final game of last season. This was against, this was the game we lost, and we got second place against these guys in a very nice arena in a different city called Poltava, which is more in the center of Ukraine. And so usually the bigger tournaments, they'll have some kind of photographer there, and we're really lucky to be able to go onto the website and find some shots. And so one where I'm actually in there, and the two guys right behind me are my that we usually play on a line together, and they're my guys that I work with all the time. And so Stas is right behind me. He's the one who was baptized last year. And the guy behind him is Andre again. Here's us without our friend Teresa. We just did a little bit of a retreat down in a town called Berdyansk. Berdyansk is on the Azov Sea, and it's a sort of a beachside beachside town, and everyone goes there in the summer. Especially in our region, because that's the closest area to go to. And so we rented this little private cabin room at this hotel, and we're able to do a little retreat together and just focus on God's Word and do what we do every Thursday with each other, but do it in a longer setting. We've spent 3 days together, I think 2 nights together, and we're just able to go through and read the Bible together and encourage each other in that time, which is really, really good and really important, because, as I said before, just being an encouragement to each other is a very huge part of how we continue to be there. I think if we didn't have these people in our life and we didn't have the encouragement of many others in prayer, it would be very hard to stay and fight through some of the emotions and hard times that we go through. I got asked to do an interview for a local newspaper. It was an online newspaper. And so here they are taking a photo of me, and I had the whole family with me, and we were answering questions about being a Canadian family in Ukraine. Like I've said before, our city is about the size of Winnipeg, about 700,000 people, they don't have a lot of visitors there. They don't have a lot of North American people there. And so when there's somebody like us who's living there, they're usually quite shocked. And so these people thought it was shocking enough that they should write an article about us. And I thought, I don't know what you're going to write. We're not that interesting. But we said yes, because, hey, that can be a way that people come to get to know us and get to know about Jesus through us. So we were happy to do it. And funny enough, we did this, and they wrote an article. It was a few days later it came out. And then all of a sudden we got a message from somebody in Desmond's school. Desmond is attending a public school there. And it was a parent from one of his classmates saying, "Oh, hey, we want to come talk to you. We're thinking about immigrating to Canada and want to pick your brain." And so we met with them, like, come to wanting to talk to us? He said, "Oh, well, I just read the article about you in the newspaper." And so we spoke with them, and it was great, because that was one more opportunity just to share with them why we're there. They were really, like most people, they just can't grasp why a Canadian would come to Ukraine, because every Ukrainian is trying to go somewhere else, mostly Canada. Ukrainians are trying to come to Canada and the U.S. and anywhere else, and they just can't grasp the fact that somebody would be there. And so for them to hear that we come because we felt God wants us to be there and to share about Jesus. I don't know what they think about it in the end. I'm sure they think we're crazy, but I hope they take the time to really think about it and go, what is this? Even if that's just a seed, right? We don't know what part of that story is and how God's going to use that in their life, but we know that He is using it, and so we know that He's doing that through us all the time. When summer started, we got a few helpers. We got a few people coming in. And so we had attended a school in Spain in 2011. And that school is just teaching the leaders and people who are wanting to go into missions and Christian different Christian spheres in the future. And so when we were in that school, we made a lot of good connections, but we continued to go back there and meet with the new classes. And one of the new thing that they started was an internship. So we were there for 6 months. What they've done now is they've divided this six-month program into 3 months and 3 months later. And in the center, there's a three-month section where they get all these students to go out onto practicums. And so we thought, yes, we've been waiting for this. So we got these two guys, the one up in front here with the beard and the guy with the crazy McDonald's cup and hair there, Caleb and Andy, to come and be with us for the summer. And then there's the guy in the middle named Zach, and he was a friend of somebody else I met. He was an interesting character, and that didn't last very long with him there. So he had to go home. But the other two guys were a fantastic help throughout the summer with us. And so this was just one of our first days in Zaporozhye. We're actually standing in front of the big column where the Lenin statue used to stand. And so this Lenin has been torn down a few years ago now. And they've put this sort of wrap sticker thing on there. And it's a Ukrainian Cossack. And so Ukrainians are very proud of their Cossacks. And down with Lenin, up with the Cossacks. So there. So as summer came, we had these new guys to help us, and one of the things we did is we just sort of hit the streets. We said, what are we going to do? How are we going to meet people? That's what I told them I wanted them to do. I said, I want you to help me make new relationships. I want you to help me find people, teenagers and young guys, that are just looking for something, and we're going to share Christ with them. And so one of the things we did is we started going out to the parks, which we've often done in the past, and just playing games in English. And so we'd go, and already a couple days in, we had met some people on the streets, and we said, let's play English games. So I've got the game Taboo there, which is a game where you just have to get people to guess your word. And so here's a small group of guys. My friend Misha, who looks uninterested lying on the bench here, he's been around for a lot of years. I met him the very first time we're there. And so he's been around, and we've still have a good relationship. The next two guys were new guys that we met this summer, both Alexes, so we call them Alex and Alexei. And one guy, the first guy with the headphones around his neck, he's actually 28 years old, and he's a graduated orphan. We met him on the street, and I almost never meet guys who are graduated orphan that speak English. Like I said before, that's almost never happens, and this guy did. And so I didn't know that at first. We just met him. He started speaking English with us. And I started asking questions, and his sort of story came out. I said, how in the world did you learn English? Where did you do that? He said he just decided he was gonna. He's a determined guy, and he said, I'm gonna do it. And so he read, he studied, he watched movies, and he did it. And so we started this great relationship with him. And one of the very first days, of course, he asked, why are we here? What are we doing? And we say, well, we're here to share, you know, in our faith. God, we felt God had put us here, and we just want to do whatever we can to be with guys like you and help you and share about God with you. And he says, well, you know, I'm an atheist, so really don't bother type thing. But he was still willing to hang out with us. Sometimes that doesn't happen, right? Sometimes they say, oh, I'm an atheist and you're not, so see you later. But this guy said, let's keep going. Now, how we met him was very interesting as well. As we're in this park playing, I think it was the previous week, my friends, we had all decided, well, we had used to play this game on our phone called Pokemon Go. And we decided, we had all played it. Let's try playing it together again. That was just me and the American guys. And they walked over and they saw a group of people playing it. And it was all guys in their 20s, guys and girls. And they went over and made friends. And they had this huge new group of people that they just connected with. Only a couple of them spoke English, so I had to go over, and I was sort of helping to translate for some of the other guys. But we went over there, and we just started, connected and made this relationship. Well, this Alex guy, who is the 28-year-old graduated orphan, he was playing the game. And so all of a sudden, these relationships were starting from such a strange place that we never anticipated it happening. We didn't go out and plan, let's go do this so that we can meet people to play. We just figured, let's look at our phones and play a game while we're out doing something else. And we met these guys, and such a such a cool thing because he came out and he kept coming out. And these guys, these two guys specifically, have we've had an ongoing relationship with them even after the summer. And so that's really, really awesome. To go in one more detail about Alex and how he said he was an atheist, later I was able to ask more questions, dig into this. What does that mean? When did you decide that? How did this come to be in your life? And he said, for the most part, first off, he said, you know, I've done everything myself. I don't need somebody else or something else to believe that I can be anybody. I said, well, okay, that's not necessarily all that God's about, so let's talk more about that. But another part that I heard was he actually had an encounter with Jehovah's Witnesses. And so he had been around Jehovah's Witnesses and become friends with them, and probably that was another part of how he was learning English. And so he had left that group with a bitter taste in his mouth. And he said, you know, I don't want to be anything like these people. He had a long list of things that he had wrong with them. And I said, well, you know what it sounds like to me? I said, I don't think you're an atheist. He says, I think you're just anti-Jehovah's Witness. And I said, I'm like, well, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. And I'd love to share with you more what that means. And I'll tell you that I want to hear more about your story. Will you be willing to listen to my story? And he said, yeah. He's just a personable guy. He's willing to do that. He's a nice guy like that. And so I got to share more about my story and what God's done in our life and continues to do. And I just saw him opening up, and he'll come and ask me questions. He's not saying he's a Christian yet, but we're still going. We headed out to our friend Jessica's property where we were going to build a little roof for her shelter. She had made a little picnic area because, as you see, there's just a fence around a big property here, and this is the property where they plan to build many homes on to put orphans in. And she really hopes to get very young aged orphans, not 16-year-olds and 15-year-olds, because she's been in the orphanage program and she's seen these 16-year-olds coming out and how they've been just beat down by the system. And already at that point in the game, and at that point at 16 years old, she sees them and goes, it's really tough to share with them and change their life at that moment. Not impossible. With God, all things are possible. But she says, I want to take these young kids when they're very young, when they're babies or toddlers if they can. And so she's working to get this building up. We just decided we'd come and help her on this little project. And I know we'll have lots of opportunity to help them along the way, her along the way as well as she gets going. We had a fire. We do shashlik there. If you remember that word, that strange word. Shashlik was just the little sort of grilling they do over the fire, like we do barbecue. No one has barbecues, so they do little meat over the fire. And so we would go out there, and we'd often do that. We'd bring food for the guys and people working on her project there. Us in the park again, another thing we did is we went out and just started singing music. And this was all kinds of songs. There was worship songs, and there was popular music songs. And we just started singing. And of course, throughout this event, people just came and sidled up to us and they wanted to hear. Some people were like, hey, can I throw you some money? And we're like, no, that's not what we're out here for. We got an opportunity through that to share who we are and why we're there. People would hear us, oh, you're singing so perfectly in English. How is that possible? Well, I speak English. Oh, okay. And so so that was really good fun. This guy on the side here with the guitar, his name's Pasha, and he's actually from another village, Molochansk, which is... I believe I've shared with you guys before, that's sort of where the Mennonite Center building is in that village south of Zaporozhye, and will have been one of the main colonies there, one main village in the Molochna colonies. And so he lives there, and we sometimes go out there. I think I have a couple pictures. This is just another shot, one of the first guys when they arrived. Everybody's posing, I guess. Another shot with... As the summer was winding up, to have these two guys, and actually a third guy, was going around and playing this game together on our phones. But just as our relationship continued after the summer, that's always a huge blessing for us, because as the summer ends and wraps up, we find a lot of people just, oh yeah, it was nice knowing you, but I'm back to the regular routine now. I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to go back to whatever we were doing, and maybe I'll, you know, we're friends, but maybe we'll cross paths, maybe not. And some people I only see in the summers. And so these guys continued to have a relationship with us and go out and play games. And so I talked to these guys here while in Ukraine. I'm messaging with them and have a good relationship with them still. The two Alexes. Here he is again. That's the one I told you about. Alex, the 28-year-old graduated orphan. We got to have a fun event out in the park where we played some slippery hockey. We saw this on the internet where you could get a big plastic sheet and put soap all over it. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of injuries. And you go try to play hockey against each other. So that was a lot of fun. We all wiped out. I tried to clear the area first, but of course sticks and things poke through this tarp and sometimes you get your foot cut up or something. But we had a great time. We tried that once first and I had to go find a different piece of plastic to do another event later because that thing didn't make it past the first day. Just another time. We also would go to the park with people, and this is actually Gary and Teresa's guys and girls here again. But we would go to the park and we'd play this game here where you have to throw the bag in the hole there, and he helped us make one of these things, and it was just a cool thing. Again, you put it in the park, we invite people to play, and other people just stop by. They just see you, and they go, oh, what's that? I think that's actually, you know, that might happen here in Canada. It happens maybe a little bit. But in Ukraine, I feel people are a lot more interactive like that. They're more willing to just come up to you and just say, hey, what's going on here? Like, can I be involved? And so people would just start playing the game, and that was really fun. Some of the people in the back, the guy with the dog back here, yeah, I don't know who he is. But he stopped by, so he wanted to watch for a while. I think some people talked. I wasn't the one who was chatting with him, but I know some of my friends did. We got a chance to be part of a Young Life camp this year, which was one of the coolest, not coolest camps we've been to, but the most luxurious camp we've ever been to. It looks so beautiful there. Look at those nice cabins and stuff. Usually when we go to a camp, it's to a building that you don't want to sleep in and food that's not so good, but we had a great time. This was part of this Young Life College group, and so I've now become involved with them and trying to work more with that age of guys because it fits more with the guys that I'm already working with, these 20-year-old guys. And so really cool opportunity to meet a lot of new people there and share with them what our faith looks like as well, just as we took a hike that day. And this is out in Molochansk. One of the days that we went out to Molochansk they invited me to Pasha, the guy playing the guitar before, invited me to preach, and just to their youth group, and so I came and we played games together. This is a church that they built, I'm trying to remember, it was approximately when we arrived, maybe 6-7 years ago, that they built there in Molochansk, and so that is their main church as the Mennonites, the Mennonite church there, whereas earlier they had gone just to the neighboring village of Kutuzovka. You guys would remember, right? And there's a church there that they had been in. And so that's me and Pasha getting to speak. There was people there I was speaking to. It's not just an empty hall. That's what I should do. Just post a lot of pictures of me standing, looking like I'm talking to people. And so just sharing with them. And we got to play baseball with these guys and girls in the village. So there was a lot of them that wanted to. Not everybody wanted to play baseball, so some of them went home at that time. But we got to teach them baseball. Some of them had played before, but every time we go out there, it seems that that's a favorite sport for the core group of people who've already learned it. And then we're always teaching it to new people. And they always play games like this where you pair up and you have this, like, sometimes they've had a belt. It's very strange. You have to tag people, but you don't tag people. You whip them. And so you run around the circle, and you have to try to not be hit, and you go jump in behind the other person. The other person runs out, and they're it. And so they started this game by saying, okay, let's not really hit people too hard. And that lasts for about 30 seconds, and then they're just swinging away. So they try to use something that's not too hard. It's not. I don't think this was a belt. I think it would. No, at this moment, it might have been a belt, but I think it was toned down later. This is us out in the park again. We did our Just Youth event, our final wrap-up of the summer. We did our Just Youth event in the park, and you can see I have a different piece of plastic down there. It's a black one. And so we got a bigger, stronger piece of plastic, and we invited Gary and Teresa and all their students out, and lots of people. And once again, because we're in the park, people just stop by. And I'm here with my friend Alona. She translated for me. And in that time, there were people that were just stopping by, and they got to hear. And I got to share my story and what Christ had done in my life. I was talking about when I was a teenager, and people were stopping by and just listening in. And of course, they're attracted just by, why is there a group here? What's this stuff doing on the ground? But of course, why is someone speaking English? There's a lot of reasons why they might stop by. And that was really cool. And we got to meet I love events like that because in the summer we get to just meet so many more new people. And so we're just so blessed by that, things like that. One more shot. I really like this one because it's not necessarily a view of the game that we're playing, but this is me and my three main guys. So this is me, Andre near the net, Philippe, and Stas. And so that's me and my three main guys that I spend most of my time with, and they're the ones that have agreed to be in that relationship with me where I am their mentor. And so I really like that shot. After summer, through some of the relationships, I met this guy over here in summer, Nikita. I'd actually met him before, but we had rekindled this relationship in summer. And he invited me to be part of his class. And so in September, I got to go to his class. The teachers are always, well, there's an English speaker who wants to come be part of our English class. They're just excited to have us. And so we came and we're part of it. For my birthday, I invited everybody to come to the Banya, which is like a sauna with a pool and there's a few other things around. And so this was my floorball team, a lot of the guys, that we all went to the Banya together. And right before this, because it's a little blurry shot, you can't see it, but my face has got a big cut right across the bridge because we were playing frisbee out on the sand and somebody whipped the frisbee right at me. Always a danger when you're teaching somebody a new sport. When the people don't know how to play the sport for the first time, accidents always happen. I should have known. I also really like this shot because here's just our group photo of our team coming together and chatting about the game. And we don't look as happy here, even though I'm pretty sure we won. I think there might have just been some frustrations in the game. And so we have an arena just on the other side of the wall there. But it's also a place where they train boxers and stuff like that. Boxing is a very popular sport in Ukraine. And so it's just us gathered around and chatting. And that's after our game in that time. And so this is a special shot because my guy Stas here is at the bottom with his now fiance. They started dating only in June. And it's been a hard relationship to deal with because he's my guy and I want to encourage him. But I also want to make sure that he's living life the right way and trying to share with him. And he's been quite resistant to a lot of that stuff this year. And that's been a big hardship, but here in this tournament in November, he proposed to his girlfriend at the end of the tournament, and so now they are getting married this summer. So I hope to do my best to encourage them still, and they are both Christians, and encourage them to dedicate their whole life and their marriage to Christ as well. So that's a new chapter in this relationship with my friend Stas. Just a shot after the thing. It's too many shots of us in green, I think. And the family. We were just at a wedding there. That's the end of my slideshow. We're just, like I said before, just so blessed to be in Ukraine. And you guys are a tremendous support for us, both prayerfully, financially, and in encouragement to us, that we just thank you so much. I feel so grateful to be able to come and share with you guys every usually January here. And I think what I had planned to read is a common verse, a few verses, Matthew 28, starting at verse 16, the Great Commission. And it fits right in with what Jeremy was speaking at the beginning. And of course, it's something that we hold near and dear to our heart because it's Jesus' words that have really pushed us to do what we're doing. And so Matthew 28, verse 16 says, But the 11 disciples went into Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority hath been given unto me into heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Often I can spout off that verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it's something I hold very dear to my heart. But the next verse is very important as well. And it says, teach teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's one thing to share with people who Christ is, and then it's the next step is to teach them how to follow Christ. That's how you make disciples. We don't always get the chance to do that. Many times our opportunity is to just share with them who we are and who Christ is to us, and do our best to represent what Jesus looks like and who he is. And it's going to be up to them to make the decision if that's something they have any interest in. And of course, we rely on the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who will be there convicting them and bringing them closer to God. But if that is something that they're interested in, we have another step. We have something else that we need to do. And that's to make them disciples. Not just making them disciples isn't just saying, you're a Christian? Great. See you later. That's awesome. Sometimes we have to. I think there's a lot of evangelists out there that have to rely on that somebody else is going to be there and encourage them. That's part of the sowing seeds. But if you have the opportunity, if you're around somebody and you see them all the time, somebody that you work with, somebody that you're a family member, somebody that you see at the store all the time, there's somebody that you can share not only the gospel with, but share with them what it means to live that. And so that is something that is near and dear to us. It's something that we follow, and we do our best to follow. We're definitely not perfect at it. We don't, like I said earlier, when Pastor Arnold would share with us about the many ways that he would share about the love of Christ, we were always greatly encouraged and thought, wow, I need to be more like Pastor Arnold did, right? How he would go out and it didn't matter who was there. Sometimes, and I think you'll get this too, as Christians we probably all do, you'll be somewhere and you'll see somebody and you'll go, this might be the opportunity to share with that person, right? Sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. And I don't want to miss any opportunity, and so I ask God to fill me with that that love for him, that I love him so much that I wouldn't want that person to miss out on the love of Christ. Because that is so important. And if I'm just going to be quiet and not speak up, well, I know I can do better. And so I encourage all of you guys to remember that too. We can all be missionaries. We happen to be in Ukraine, and you guys are here. And so we thank you so much for your support, but I also encourage you guys to remember that we have opportunities all around us. And so we just thank so much, Pastor Arnold, for being that great example for us. Paul said, I can't remember which verse it was, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And we want to say that. I say that to my guys here. It's a scary thing to say, because if I say follow me as I follow Christ, then I better be a good example, right? I'm not a perfect example. They know that. But I share with them, you know, forgive me. Christ already forgives me. And he forgives you too. And so it's great. So thanks for listening. I hope I can just have a quick prayer right now, and we can talk after. Thank you, God, so much for this opportunity to be here, that we can all be together this morning. You are just such an awesome encouragement to all of us. We thank you that you love us so much, that you sent your son to die for our sins and to be resurrected and to just be with us always. That it's not only for us in this church, that it's for the other people outside the church as well. No matter what they call themselves, if they call themselves Christians, if they call themselves atheists, if they call themselves agnostic, whoever they are, God, we know that you love them. And we ask you to encourage us and build us up and make us stronger to be able to go out and speak with these people, to show them your love. I thank you so much for what you have done for us. I thank you for what you are doing for us and what plans that you have for us in the rest of our lives, because it's been 6 years so far that we've been in Ukraine, but I know you want us to keep going, and I ask that you continue giving us the motivation, the Holy Spirit, the will to do that, God. We love you. We worship you. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.